the mother humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangster thumping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
Butt plug, butt plug. Butt plug. Nice butt plug.
Nut plug
is very different.
Oh yeah. That's a problem.
All right, so we're all still reeling from the tales of Jesse and Melody.
Yep.
Just talking indeed about myself in the third person because that's what I do.
Yep.
And the mooch.
The mooch.
Yeah. Bad guy.
It's all punch.
And now we're ready to be regaled with Nicholas's stories.
The other white meeks. Yeah.
That is a lot of others.
We're hyping the fuck out of you. Even the seal is hyping you.
Oh no. No. I'm not ready for that level of fame.
Well, you can't go back.
Well, according to the beer you just cracked, you are.
That's the sign of holy shit, shit's about to go down.
Yep.
I mean, generally, yeah.
Shit.
Things are about to happen.
We're not gonna do some banter before this, aside from the butt plug song.
No, I think we're like ready to get into
the nut plug song.
What nut plug? Nut.
As Melody observed, my story actually requires two separate documents.
Yeah, apparently.
And fuck. So this all
how do you reconcile?
There's an addendum.
I will explain when it comes up, and then I will offer you two the options for how we're going to proceed from that.
Oh, is it a choose your own adventure?
Maybe.
Uh oh.
Oh fuck, ducks. Awesome. Duck fucking duck fucker. Oh no. Wait, do I have to do anything?
You have to choose your own adventure.
You have to, like, say your
fuck!
You have to choose one of two options.
What happens if Jesse and I disagree?
We will get to that when we get to the first choice.
First choice? Fuck!
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There's no choose your own adventure story with only one choice.
Well, sometimes shitty ones are.
That's just called a regular story.
I choose to live. Well,
yeah,
fuck you.
That's just choosing to close the book, I think.
A choose your own adventure with only one choice per choice is called a story, just like a regular old story.
Yeah, you just choose to stop reading it or not.
You don't choose.
You don't choose. You just keep doing.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Okay, yeah.
Do or do not. There is no try. Are you sure we want to get into this? This is really only 3 minutes in. And it feels a little premature.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to discuss the merits of choosing your own adventure?
No, I was actually thinking of RuPaul.
Okay.
Specifically.
Can we just talk about her in general?
Yeah, what about her? Like how amazing she is?
She's fab as shit.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Okay.
Go on.
I
don't have anything in particular to bring up. I just think we should discuss.
She has a drag race.
Okay.
Which involves other people that are fab as shit sometimes.
What's awesome about RuPaul is that RuPaul is the drag superstar RuPaul, but then RuPaul is also the male
Paul something or other.
RuPaul. He is RuPaul. Like
he transcends gender.
Yeah, he's just like above everything.
Does he identify as both RuPaul female and RuPaul male?
I'm not sure.
It's just RuPaul, I think.
Sometimes he just presents himself as.
Sometimes RuPaul is wearing a suit. Sometimes RuPaul is wearing a dress and a wig.
I know, it's
and
amazing.
Some high heels.
But I think
he has evolved.
I think that If I had to suspect that I feel like RuPaul would use the pronouns they, because
you think so?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think
I feel like RuPaul like would a... use the pronoun bitch.
Yeah.
Hunty. Yeah. Hunty a lot. Yeah, a lot of hunty.
I'm really curious as to your insights, because I know you've seen a lot of Poo Rawls Rag Trace.
Yeah, are you just jealous that you haven't been visited?
Yes, I'm very fucking jealous. You need to come
and visit, and we can watch more.
Yeah, we will rewatch seasons of Poo Rawl.
And there's also a whole brand new season that we haven't seen yet.
Damn it. Yeah, 4 months old and 5 and 7 year old girls aren't into that.
Bring them.
They should be.
Because, they should be.
Yeah, you should, like, because there are so many important life lessons. Like, I am being legit here. Like, in addition to, like, all of the bitchiness that happens on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, there are a lot of life lessons about, like, accepting people for who they are and what they do and just...
Fuck yeah.
Owning it and being also the person that you want to be. And, like, there's a lot of issues with, like, families who come on and, like... in the past have maybe not supported their family members and coming to terms with that. So just like owning it and being like the legit you, like
being a human.
And also how to grow as a person and be less of a hunty bitch.
I don't know if that's really
it. Sometimes how to be more of a hunty bitch, but sometimes how to be less of a hunty bitch.
Sometimes you just have to fucking...
Yeah.
Snap, snap, snap.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Going crazy. Triple snap.
Yeah.
Fuck that phone. Kill it.
Hunty.
What do you think about RuPaul?
I think he or she is spectacular in both formats. They do well.
They are spectacular. Bitch. Well, bitch is feminine.
Do you feel that he or she, do you feel that they put on the bitch persona, or do you think that they are truly just a sassy bitch?
It's probably some of both.
Yeah.
Like, because
it feels a little contrived.
Because RuPaul was like one of the original drag queens.
Yeah, she was coming up in like the early 90s.
Was one of the OGs.
Nobody doing
that. So I think that she probably embodied that persona to deal
latched
with all
on
the
to
shit
it.
That she had to mm-hmm. deal with. And I mean, obviously on RuPaul's Drag Race, it's heightened to the nth degree to be,
but she also plays the nurturing character to help
she
those
does.
People along.
Yeah.
So,
they
and
do.
Then,
they do. Yeah. They
and
do.
Then once it comes down to judgment, then.
So when it comes to judgment time, they are in the she format. Is this true?
Most often, yeah.
Yes, Rue does not appear in the suit during
Except
evaluation
for, there's like one or two times when...
Rue does what the fuck she wants.
What they want.
But more often than not, she format for judgment and then random appearance to look sleek and sexy. It's one or the other.
Yeah, usually like when he, I don't know. I don't know what pronouns RuPaul prefers,
Rue?
So I'm not really sure.
Just go through.
But during like the actual scenes when they're interacting together, Rue is wearing male clothing. So I don't know if that mm-hmm. means that they identify as male during that scene. But always during like the judgment,
Rue
is wearing drag. Because that's the show, like RuPaul's Drag Race, like.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense too.
Yeah, you gotta.
Either way, the motherfucker's got style. Cause yeah. I would wear those dresses, and I would definitely wear those suits.
Fuck yeah! Except for the hats. The hats. There was a whole season where there was hats, and the hats were sometimes a misstep, but. That's maybe personal preference, but sometimes
in the
were.
Masculine or the feminine,
yes.
What were the hats
when
like?
When Rue was wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like a fedora, but
oh,
just
it was like
crazier.
A variety of hats,
yeah.
Like any kind of hat you could. I think that during that season, Rue had some sort of like they had cancer or something removed from their head, and so.
Or possibly we're channeling a skeleton and wearing all of the hats of said skeleton, but in different episodes.
Yeah.
Because it got fucking silly.
It was absurd. Like, there were
was it really?
When it was like, yeah, what is that?
Rue was wearing some weird fucking hats.
What is that?
And it was so distracting from the content that you're just like,
Do you have Amazon, Jesse?
Yeah.
You should. So is, while your family is out of town, you should fucking watch
all of the seasons except for the newest one are on there.
All of the seasons nonstop,
no,
back to back.
Season one, not season true. Two are not on there.
Like
and
three
the
through five
season.
Are on there.
Three through eight, I think. But yeah.
Que lastima.
You could definitely have Una Fiesta.
Shit, I didn't know. So it's on Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Indeed.
How do you say transsexual in Spanish?
Transsexual.
That was totally made up, but I like it.
I think that's probably true, though.
It probably is.
Is that Antonio Banderas transsexual?
It's too sexy. Too sexy transsexual.
Transsexual. And you got to roll the R that doesn't exist at the end of the word.
Transsexual.
Transsexual.
Yep.
Okay.
You guys got it.
Got it. Nailed it.
Okay, lesson over. Now we've spent the appropriate amount of time before actually introducing the story. Okay. I feel. I don't know.
To all of our listeners.
We can keep talking about RuPaul.
We could have a totally separate Poo-Roll.
That's rude.
Podcast.
Good solid 30, 45 minutes.
Throw my beer.
You have to oh shit, throw your beer.
Yeah, you have to throw your beer.
Yeah, don't do that.
That might have been the ghost of Poo-Roll.
That might have been RuPaul smiting
it. Give it to Nick. Ow, wow.
Okay,
wow.
Well,
ow.
That's the throw to you, dear.
Tis indeed. Okay. So I am continuing Jesse's story.
Uh-huh.
The first chapter of The Other White Meeks, which... Uh-huh. If I had a time and space machine, I would slap you in the face for titling it that. But I don't. Thus, I have to respect your wishes and continue it on. So this is the Other White Meeks. Part 2, Choices, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Dungeon Crawler, a.k.a. Cowboys Hell From.
Okay, good. Good.
That is good.
At the end of the first chapter of this tale, our hero, Rick... Following a very fucked up series of events involving cutting the face off of his brother at the age of 4, zombie ducks almost ruining the land, and a weird hobo with an awful childhood and a hard-on for punishing chouches, Rick was just finishing up another clean stealth kill of yet another douche. But this douche was a giant, massive, total fucking douche by the name of Ronald Frump. Thank fucking Jeebus that the land is rid of that nozzle of useless twat water and yeast.
Oh, yuck.
10 more years really have passed.
Gross. Oh, no.
Then we jump back 17 years.
Oh, no.
Then 6 months forward after that. Then 9 more years have passed. Then we kind of flop around in the timeline because somebody couldn't stop pushing the buttons on the control panel. Then finally, 2 years back. To where we can finally continue this fucking shit show.
Wait. 10 years passed and then you went back 17.
If you do all of the math like a super fucking nerd.
So it's 4 years before.
No, if you do all of the math like I did as a super fucking nerd, this is a short period after the end of your story.
Fuck. Okay.
My math sucks. 6 months, Jesse.
I took a whole fucking convoluted paragraph of nerdy math and a Doctor Who reference to get to shortly after the end of your story.
No, I like
because
it.
Because this story rocks.
I'm sad that you didn't integrate, but that's okay.
I didn't want to violate copyright.
Yes, next time.
Yes, next time we'll violate copyright.
Lando condones the violation of copyright.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, see, this is why that's wrong.
So, a goblin wearing a dark blue cloak with a deep crimson mask covering the bottom half of her green-skinned face, crept silently along the hallway of a hidden dungeon. Her yellow eyes darted back and forth, constantly searching for traps, booby traps, wiener traps, and vag traps. Basically, she was a baller at avoiding traps. In fact, at this very moment, where our story opens, She is cutting the nearly invisible wire that, if tripped, would open, if tripped by an unwary adventurer, would have opened a panel in the stone ceiling and dropped dozens of venomous insult scorpions. Insult scorpions, creatures whose stinging criticisms and cutting remarks filled a person with poisonous self-loathing, leading to a lifetime of crippling depression and an inability to connect with others.
That's so fucking ridiculous.
They're terrible.
Yes, those are bad.
Insult scorpions.
Also, they had regular poison.
No!
Oh, no!
Also, they had tiny guns.
Oh, my God! What the fuck? Those are, like, the worst creatures in the universe.
Jeebus fucking Christ, how many different ways to kill you do these things have? It's almost as if some moron just kept tacking on whatever he could think of until they became utterly ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's next? Could they also link up and make the shape of a grown man swinging a mace made of lasers? Come on, rein it in a little. Actually, that sounds pretty fucking awesome. So also, they could link up and make the shape of a man wielding a laser mace.
fucking scorpions. Oh, shit.
So needless to say, it's a good thing this troll kicks so much ass at not dying by traps. And while a story about laser mace wielding Voltron scorpions is admittedly much more interesting, we continue on. She continued to creep along the corridor, smiling when she spotted a heavy wooden door with an iron lock. Excellent, she said to herself quietly. A series of small little metal lock-picking tools were drawn from a pouch on her belt, but just as she was about to go to work unlocking the door, her left ear twitched. It had been a tiny sound, like fabric shifting on skin, and only a practiced thief used to being wary of guards and soldiers would have detected it. If you think this mysterious thief should attack the source of the sound behind her, turn to page 17. If you think she should run away, turn to page 83. So, this is where the choice comes in. I can either give you the endings that go badly, and then we can come back, or you can choose which one you think is best, and we can proceed that way.
No, I will leave it to the two of you. Which is best.
Because the endings that proceed badly are also fucking hilarious.
Fuck.
So, I will leave it up to the two of you.
I think we should have like a...
You want to have a consensus?
An actual story.
Okay. So, if you think the mysterious thief should attack the source of the sound behind her, do we turn to page 17? Or if you think she should run away from that sound, should we turn to page 83?
17.
Jay?
Fuck.
Do you think she should attack or run away?
Well, she's a thief.
Yeah, but
she's loaded with guile and stealth.
True.
It seems like she would run away.
Yeah, it
for
seems
a character.
Like, but should she?
Fuck. Why would you do this, Meeks? God damn it.
It's a choose your own adventure. AKA Cowboys Hall from.
Attack. I think okay. Mel's right. Let's attack.
Okay. Without giving an outward sign that she had heard anything, the hand that was not holding the lockpick drew a short dagger. Swiftly, she whirled and threw the blade at the opposite wall of the corridor, screaming, "Sneak up on this, fuckface!" Where there had previously been empty air, there suddenly appeared a curved, translucent blue energy shield deflecting the knife. The air shimmered, and a tall, slender elf wearing a yellow robe materialized behind the shield wall. "Well met, goblin. I mean you no harm," the elf said in the accent common to his people, which I'm not going to replicate here because that sounds hard. "I'm amazed you knew I was there."
"We chose right."
She smirked and loosened the grip on her curved short sword. "You weren't standing very still, elf," she replied. He smiled, recognized that arguing would have been fruitless. "Fair point. What was that you shouted? Sneak up on this fuckface?" he asked, raising one eyebrow. "And did I hear you say mexcellent to yourself before trying to pick that lock?" "You heard right," she said. "Mexcellent. It's a portmanteau of most excellent. I feel it well accompanies my approaching victories. And who are you to question me? Who are you to be hiding under an invisibility spell in the dark hallway of a dungeon?" She squinted fiercely at him. "Excellent use of portmanteau," he replied. But then his expression dropped. "And another fair point. I have been standing in the spot you discovered me for more than a day. I assumed I would be able to detect any traps with my magic, but when my manservant Yolo stepped on a cobblestone that sank down and unleashed a swarm of bees all carrying tiny chainsaws, I pooped myself a little, activated an invisibility spell, and resolved not to move until I came up with a plan. To backtrack a little, Yolo and I came into this place to attempt to discover and investigate the secret machinations of its owner, the owner of the manor that sits atop it, Professor Shitstorm. Lightning and thunder could be heard cracking outside, which was probably only a coincidence that occurred immediately after the utterance of the name of Professor Shitstorm. Oh, fuck. Lightning and thunder just cracked outside again. Continuing on. The elf continued. It is rumored he's conducting terrible experiments by combining sciences and magics, creating terrible abominations like the show Matlock. Seriously, fuck that show! And plans to unleash them on the land of.
Oh no. Not Matlock.
Poor Matlock.
The goblin seemed to ponder this for a moment, then shrugged. I'm going to assume you're skating right past the horrific death of your servant means you don't want to discuss it further. The professor and his business concern me not. What does concern me is how much treasure I can get out of this dungeon without being discovered. The elf frowned. I see. Well, perhaps our goals can both be better achieved through cooperation. I'm clearly not as adept at identifying traps as you, but I can tell which treasures are cursed or magically shielded. You get me past the traps, I can help you gain wealth. At the end of it, we part ways. Agreed? If you think the goblin should decline the elf's company, turn to page 45. If you think she should accept and continue with him, turn to page 31. So, should she stick with the elf, or should she tell him to fuck off?
Fuck.
What do you think, Jesse? I feel like I took the lead on the last one.
I feel like they need to stay together. But I forgot what the hell she was doing. What was her purpose on her little quest?
She was trying to unlock a door to steal some treasure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and then Dick...
And then he was hiding because he was terrified of death.
Yeah, so they should probably stick together.
I think they should because of the chainsaw bees. And yeah, stick together. And the other stuff. The scorpions. Yes.
Okay. So we continue to page 31. The goblin looked skeptical but nodded. But it seems appropriate that we should know the other's name if we are to continue. The goblin went back to picking the lock. Name's Vexig, she said over her shoulder. Splendid, the elf replied. I am Leaf Something Yada Nature, son of Sunset Blah Yada Nature. Great Lady of the Forest of... Holy fuck, that's a lot of trees. What the fuck? I wanted it to sound elven and fancy, so but I also didn't try very hard, so...
I love it.
Yada Nature.
Vector replies, sounds like a mouthful. I'm going with Leaf.
Naturally.
The lock clicked open and Vexig pushed the door in. A candle was burning on the table in the middle of the room, which really doesn't make any sense since no one was in there, and it almost feels like a forced and intentional lighting choice by the cinematographer so we could see the heroes' faces, but whatever. The faint glow dimly reached most areas of the room, and Vex's keen eyes scanned for tripwires or buttons hidden in the floorstones. Seeing none, she slowly entered the room and made for the wooden chest in the far corner. Leaf was more interested in the books on the shelves and inspected them in the dim light. Ah, a study in nocturnal botany, he said, delighted. His hand reached for the book. Shh! Vexig hissed at him loudly, stopping him cold. He looked at her, and she nodded her head in the direction behind him. Slowly turning, he came to see that a string was tied to the book he was reaching for, which, if pulled, would trigger a mechanism releasing a giant red boxing glove on a coiled spring connected to the side of the bookshelf.
You fucking... Oh, God.
Yes, this is indeed a Wile E. Coyote.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Yet I've gotten your fool head punched right in, she warned him, and probably released a horde of possums wearing leather vests with ice picks in the process.
That would be terrifying.
Leaf, scary. Especially if they're wearing leather vests and ice picks.
Yeah.
Leaf looked shaken. No one wants to take a cartoonish knuckle sandwich to the moneymaker.
Leaf looks shaken. I think that was unintended, but that's nice too. That's good.
Vexic returned to the wooden chest and finished picking the lock. "I see no magic protecting the contents of that chest," said Leaf. "Sexcellent," the goblin replied. "Sexcellent. That's a portmanteau of super excellent, isn't it?" the elf commented. Yeah, we're getting English as shit up in here.
I feel like I'm learning a lot.
You are.
Good.
Rather than responding, Vexic looked...
Are you really?
No, you're getting dumber. By the second.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
Rather than responding, Vexic looked through the materials inside the chest. Some parchments, a barkskin spell scroll she handed to Leaf, and several small jewels in a cloth pouch that she pocketed. The pair continued on down the hall toward the center of the dungeon. It had the trappings one would expect from a dungeon: dank, chill air, cold, drab stone, iron bars enclosing a few cells with skeletons of forgotten prisoners inside, one of whom had clearly died masturbating if the porn mag in his lap and his hand position were any indication. They passed several other doors, some of which couldn't be opened by magic or dexterity, and some that revealed no items of interest. Vexic suddenly grabbed Leaf's forearm, stopping him. Her eyes were squinted, her ear twitched. Leaf could hear it too, a rumbling and shouted curses growing louder, getting closer. Now, before I continue, I have to point out that I have permission from the original source material, but I have to say that this is not canon. Suddenly, a monster barbarian came crashing through a wall just ahead of them, with an angry troll on his back trying desperately to hang on, and stabbed the large man to death. There was also a gnoll hanging on to each of the barbarian's ankles trying to trip him up. The barbarian grabbed the gnolls from his legs and smashed their heads together, making a sound similar to coconuts splitting open. He then flopped on his back in a Samoan drop, crushing the troll. He rose to his feet, revealing the word "unfuckwittable" scrawled across
what
his chest.
What the fuck? No.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
What? No, no, no.
He picked up the remains of a broken keg of beer, now mingled with blood, and slurped it down.
Whoa.
Our two heroes could only stare, frozen. "What the fuck are you fucks looking at?" he yelled, stumbling, followed by a loud belch. The man was clearly very drunk and willing to kill the shit out of some dudes. Vexic and Leaf shared a glance, trying to decide what to do next. Leaf whispered, "Should we invite him to join our party? Parties adventuring in dungeons usually have a warrior, don't they? If you think they should invite this breaker of all things to join their party...
Invite.
Turn
invite,
to page 16.
Invite. Invite.
If you think
don't even give me the option. Fuck that.
If you think
go,
they should GTFO,
go.
Turn to page 68.
No.
Get the fuck out of GTFO. Fuck that.
No.
Yeah, get him.
So
get him.
Invite him.
Yeah, he goddamn right. Fuck it. Yeah, get him.
Seeing as how they didn't have any beer and were wasting his time talking about some shitting professor or something, the barbarian grabbed Vexeg with his massive hand, crushing her, and beat Leaf to death with her lifeless body.
Oh, fuck.
Then he farted.
Oh, no.
Then he farted and took a nap.
Oh, no.
Now, while badass, that was not a great choice.
Oh, no.
So, should we go back to page 68, where they GTFO from the barbarian?
Oh, no.
No.
That's just the end?
That's it.
Okay, thank you for joining us on Tales from the Land of. Everyone is dead.
Dot, dot.
Except for Throm.
Everyone died.
Except for Throm, who was not dead.
Are you telling me you... Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I feel
you
like
you got
we
permission
have to, go
to use
back.
His likeness?
I did.
You did? Oh.
I emailed Dom and asked him if I could use it, but he said it was, quote, not canon.
Are you
that
fucking
is
kidding
so
me?
Miraculous.
That is so badass. Like... You're a hero.
Oh my god. You
what?
You are oh,
I mean, I feel
no.
like because of that, in and of itself, we owe it to see where the storyline goes if Throm doesn't just kill everyone.
Yeah, we can't have Throm murder everybody. It'd be the end of
well,
this.
Well, naturally.
Especially because I have like two more pages of text to read.
Moreover, I'd say that you win, Nick. Everything that there is to win, you win.
Victory. Nobel Prize.
How because... did you keep this secret for so long? You forgot about it?
No. I'm amazing. I'm amazing is the answer to that question.
That's
poo raw.
Dude, unreal. Wow, fuck. Okay. Well played.
Okay,
so okay, I guess we go back to when they they say GTFO.
Instead, when they're pondering to ask if they should have the barbarian join them, which most parties adventuring through dungeons have as a rogue, a wizard, and a barbarian. Instead,
naturally,
the two bolted through the hole the barbarian made in the wall, while Leaf yelled back to the man, "There's beer back that way!" He created a magical glowing arrow in the floor that would lead the dangerous, drunken source of destruction out of the dungeon and to the nearest tavern. To which Throm says, "Ugh, fuck this place. Throm is going home, possibly after 70 more hours of drinking." And he followed the direction Leaf had provided, mostly because he'd already been the way that the two adventurers were headed, and there was no ale to be found that he hadn't already consumed. Leaf and Vexed rounded a corner and ducked through an open door, closing it behind them. As they turned, they saw an aged gnome sitting at a workbench, staring at them wide-eyed and terrified. Leaf was the first to break the silence. "Hello there, friend. Are you a servant of Professor Shitstorm?" Again, lightning and thunder cracked outside. Okay, there's no way that's a coincidence. The gnome nodded his head slowly. With his hands raised in a non-threatening gesture, Leaf approached him. "Would you call your employment here voluntary?" The gnome shook his head, looking sad. "Then would you be willing to help us find out his secret plans?" After a moment's hesitation, information came pouring out of the gnome. He explained that his name was Fiddlesticks, and that he had been taken against his will by Professor Shitstorm. God damn it! Taken by the professor's thugs because of his skills with machines and inventions. The professor forced him to design and build devious devices for his evil plans, which included a wheelchair built with a V12 engine and a 30-inch subwoofer for a horn.
Yes! Yes!
Whose only purpose was to lull pedestrians into a sense of security because no one suspects a person in a wheelchair, but then suddenly the bassiest bass you ever heard would liquefy your organs inside your body, and then an overly loud engine would rev way too high as the driver sped away cackling.
You're goddamn right. It's about it. Honestly, I'm surprised it took 30 plus episodes for that wheelchair to make it in. Yeah.
The professor was responsible for raising the zombie ducks that nearly destroyed the population in the previous story.
Oh, shit.
Until an exceptionally obvious solution was found to deal with them. He once came upon the mangled remains of a young man who had been put through the fangled douchening, but had no face.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Fuck.
A man whose name had once been Flanagan's, but now was only hate. And the professor had rebuilt his body into an abomination fit only for killing. Fiddlesticks told them, "But the worst of all is his current evil plan. He's using my beautiful machines and his dark magics to draw to him an evil, loathsome, foul spirit. A spirit that has tainted the land for many decades. This wicked specter was responsible for the terrible historic burning of the Kitten Orphanage. And rebuilt two of the 7 known unholy taco stands."
Two of the 7?
But worst of all, this vile phantasm forever ruined the once proud human clan of Meeks by convincing the elders to mutilate their children into giant douches.
What the fuck? Hold on.
Hold on. Let's just. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
Well, there's more explanation coming, so it'll help.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Back into the gnome's voice.
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
"The spirit drifts the land looking for a host and inhabits the body of a different person each time, corrupting their soul and twisting their appearance. They are powerless against the spirit's will, committing terrible deeds and ruining lives. Although each host is different, they will take on outward features of the evil spirit the longer he uses their body. Fuck. All who have seen it will never forget. Man or woman, orc or dwarf, they all eventually get that awful, wispy, blondish, deflated pompadour and an unearned self, and an unearned self of entitlement and self-importance. Constantly saying phrases so stupid that they work like an aneurysm spell that kills its victims. Always making that stupid nipple-pinching hand motion as if that somehow makes its topping points valid. The ever-present smell of Cheetos dust and bullshit. Overall, a giant fucking douche of an evil spirit that goes by the name of..." If you want to learn the identity of the evil, malevolent, destructive, mega-douche spirit that is Professor Shitstorm, is trying to lure to his evil manor, turn to page 3118.
Oh, fuck. I think I've already guessed the identity, but if you want I definitely want to go there.
If you want to stop now because it's just too damn scary, then go fuck yourself. This isn't a land for weed little testes. Whoa! Don't kick me! I'm just a little testicle that can't take a punch!
I mean, we don't really have a choice.
On with the fucking story! Let's choose the
go fuck yourself.
Page 3118.
Yes.
Goes by the name of Ronald Frump. ...
Wow. Yes. 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 Yes.
That was beautiful. Incredible. I feel like that was one of the best stories that we've had. Oh, like, legitimately.
I've been wanting so long to do a regular, like, dungeon crawler. Rogue barbarian wizard just going through a dungeon story, and then I had to force that into continuing Jesse's story.
But it worked so well. I thought
that was unfucking real. With the golden pompadour and the throng and the everything. I can't even count the ways that it was excellent.
Yeah, that was really, really well done, Nick. Good job.
I'm a little bit sad that we didn't get through the parts of the story that were the dead endings for the choices, but I'm okay that we didn't get there.
Bonus features?
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. We could do a second recording where you both choose the worst endings. Because two of them didn't continue the story.
Well, we chose one that didn't continue.
Yeah, that was the third. There were only three different choices.
Fuck.
I am just, like, so impressed.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about myself anymore.
Like, I was, like, feeling pretty good because I was like, oh, Jesse and I somehow had, like, this magical psychic connection. And
no, then that Nick was, just that fucking was awesome.
Blew it out of the water and was like, I got fantasy fiction. Like, this shit. Like, we're not even in our own realm anymore. So, fuck you guys. Like, that.
Just remember, it's technically not canon.
It's not canon in fantasy fiction.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't see how what you... Maybe he'll listen to it. You send him a courtesy copy for free, because we charge all of our other listeners, yeah. Obviously.
Yes.
Duh.
You send him a courtesy copy, and he listens to it, and that's 100% canon Throm in my book, man.
That's, like, exactly what Throm would do.
100%.
Like, that fuck is these guys. The epitome of drink the Throm everything. T-shirt, what would Throm do?
Yeah. WWTGs.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That was nice. Well done.
Well done. Well played, sir.
Good luck, Mel, by the way.
I'm just going to call, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Be like, hey, bro, like, hook me up with some shit. And you'll be
Mel licenses the rights to Firefly for her next story.
I do have connections. Let me just
excellent.
Say. I also have a tenacity that is sometimes to be admired and sometimes to be not
feared?
Admired.
Feared?
Yeah, feared.
I was thinking I think more we've all like said feared annoyed. At the same time.
Feared.
Annoyed by is feared. What I was thinking.
I think we chose
yeah, correctly. We chose feared. You just you cast fear on them and then tenacity them and then victory.
Yeah.
And then profit.
So far no profit has come from my tenacity.
You haven't cast fear yet.
I think I've cast fear, but maybe not in the right place at the right time. Maybe I'll
cast harder.
Yeah, harder. Cast it harder. Faster,
more hip thrusting.
Yes. Definitely pump the hips when casting.
That is how you maximize casting.
I'm just not used to that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. I'm stopping.
That was beautiful. Right now. Okay. Me too.
The Land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee in your ear holes. Thank you. It's the mother humping land of.